We can start.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for calling in this morning. This is Dennis Garten, Chairman. I will call to order the Tehama County Solid Waste Management Agency full board for November 30th at 8:30 a.m. So first order of business is Pledge of Allegiance. Wherever you're at, please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag
of the
United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you for that. And if you, Rachel, would you do a roll call?
Director Williams?
I'm here.
Director Chamberlain?
Here.
Director Bundy?
Here.
Director Carlson? Director Bouquet?
Here.
Director Demo? Director Beats?
Here.
Director Jenkins?
Here.
Director Eystone?
Here.
Director Parker?
Here.
Director Deiters?
Here.
Director Jones?
Here.
Chairman Garten?
Here. Okay. I will open up public comment at this time. Anyone having a public comment?
I have two items. One is to congratulate Paul. Paul applied for the Organic Materials Program Coordinator position and was selected as the predominant candidate by a panel of three individuals. So he will be promoted that position effective December 7th. So congratulations to Paul.
Thank you.
The second is that I'll be on vacation next Monday and Tuesday.
Anyone else have anything else? And with Paul's promotion next week, you are actively recruiting for a...
So with Paul's promotion, we are currently recruiting for a recycling coordinator.
So if you know anybody that is in that realm of employment looking, please have them apply. Okay, moving on. No other public comment. I will close public comment. We will move to item four, regular landfill. Item one, treated wood waste, a commercial generator fee. Rachel, I will turn the microphone to you.
Right, so as I reported in October at the full board meeting, currently, the alternative management standards for treated wood waste allow for its disposal in a Class 1 hazardous waste landfill or in a composite line portion of a solid waste landfill that meets all the necessary permit requirements and specifications. This alternative management standard becomes inoperative on December 31st, 2020, unless a later enacted statute becomes operative on or before January 1st, 2021, deletes or extends that date. Senate Bill 68 would have indefinitely deleted the sunset date for the alternative management standard. Unfortunately, it was vetoed by Governor Newsom on September 29th. He stated numerous reasons that are listed in the agenda packet, but it seemed in discussion with other solid waste industry professionals that the primary reason that he did veto it is because the Department of Toxic Substances Control, which is the state agency that oversees hazardous waste, is in a structural deficit, and he felt that this would add additional oversight requirements to the agency without any funding. So that, as such, effective January 1st, 2021, treated wood waste will no longer be accepted at any Class 2 or Class 3 landfills. To give you an idea, the nearest Class 1 landfill is outside Bakersfield. There's two in that area, and then there's one in Imperial County way down south. It will have to be managed as hazardous waste at that time, and it will have to be transported to a Class 1 landfill, a permitted incinerator, or out of state to another landfill. Agency staff has been working with Clean Earth, which is formerly Stericycle, to establish a program that is capable of managing the treated wood waste at the landfill. On average, we receive approximately 40 tons of treated wood waste annually, which is stored on site and then transported to Anderson Landfill. Without the alternative management standards, treated wood waste will need to be managed to the agency's household hazardous waste facility in Revlef, and only Revlef because the Corning facility doesn't have adequate space to collect and store treated wood waste. Clean Earth will provide a covered debris box for the collection and storage of treated wood waste on site. When the debris box is full, it will be manifested and hauled to U.S. Ecology Landfill in Nevada, which is much closer than the nearest incinerator or Class 1 landfill. The cost to transport and dispose of the treated wood waste is $413 per ton, which is lower than this other estimates we're getting statewide. Other facilities are getting quotes of over $500. Additionally, there's a $15 per day rental fee for the debris box.
Rachel,
for residents,
can I ask a question? It's Danielle.
Sure. Yeah.
That, because that's one of my questions. That debris box, do we have to rent it for the whole month at $15 per day, or is it just the day that we're going to hold our event?
So we'll need to rent it consistently because there is a minimum weight before we can transport it out of state. For a 20-yard, the minimum weight is 10 tons. So we won't collect 10 tons at one event, so we'll have to store it on site until we have enough to transport it.
Okay, the $15 per day is not being taken into the amount that we're recouping, correct? We're only recouping like one $15 amount.
Right, we're only recouping the tipping fee, and that's because I didn't know how to determine how much of the generator, how much treated wood waste will be generated by the commercial sector and how much will be by the residential sector.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. And just as a follow-up to that, I did look into buying a debris box. We would need two, basically, one to transport and one to be held at the site while the other is being transported. And, you know, it's quickly, it would take a whole year to recoup the cost of buying two debris boxes. Residents will need to bring treated wood waste to a regularly scheduled collection event where it will be accepted in the same fashion as other hazardous waste. Commercial generators are subject to conditionally exempt small quantity generator regulations. That limits to any commercial generator cannot reuse our facility if they generate more than 220 pounds or 27 gallons of hazardous waste per month. If they generate more than that, then they need to establish and contract with their own hazardous waste contractor. They can't use our facility. The agency currently charges commercial generators.
How are we monitoring that?
We have record keeping. We already do that.
Okay.
Yep. So the agency charges commercial generators to use facilities that dispose of hazardous waste. So we're recommending 21 cents per pound for commercial generators. If this rate is approved by the board, we'll work with the building departments to notify local contractors and begin pushing the information out to our local landfill users and through any means possible that we have available to us.
Rachel, it's Danielle again.
Sure.
The residential users, is it going to be a no charge? They just come and drop it off like we do now with the household hazardous waste, or is there going to be a charge for residential users as well?
No, there's no charge for residents.
Okay.
Yeah. So this is consistent with the way we currently operate. We need to establish a new rate for treated wood waste for commercial generators.
Perfect. Okay.
We don't want to discourage residents from bringing us their hazardous waste.
And that's what I was worried about, just having us finding a pile dumped somewhere that then we had to go pick up and dispose of anyway.
Yes, or burn it, right?
Yes.
I'll talk more about that in the next agenda item, but that is already a concern of ours, just because of the limited availability when the facility is open. But, you know, we're just trying to adapt as fast as we can. So in terms of the solid waste response to this issue, there is an industry group that's already convened looking for paths forward. It's estimated that this management of treated wood waste in this fashion will be more than $25 million per year statewide. For the agency, the estimated annual cost is $22,000. We'll be requesting a budget adjustment at the January 2021 full board meeting during our quarterly budget update to accommodate for that cost.
And you heard the issue by Rachel. Anyone have any questions?
Rachel?
Yes.
Hey, this is Dave Dean. I don't know if you've seen, I joined in. I was a couple minutes late, sorry.
That's okay.
You were talking about the cost of the two bins, would take a year to recuperate, to recoup the cost?
Yes.
Did I hear that correctly?
Yes, you did.
Well, this isn't going to be a one-year thing, is it? I mean, it's going to continue to be we're going to have to continue to store it, continue to rent bins. How long do those bins last?
Well, actually, I don't even think it'll be a year-long thing, to tell you the truth. They're looking at emergency regulations, emergency legislation. There's broad support amongst elected officials for reestablishing the alternative management standards for treated wood waste. So this is already a really hot button topic in the solid waste industry, and it's pretty much everyone believes that this will be resolved.
Okay, so you think it'd be wiser to rent instead of buy?
I do, because then, yeah, for the first year, and then if it gets to be after the first year and we don't see an end in sight, then we'll probably need to buy something.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Rachel, this is Steve. I have a couple questions. How large is the bin that we're renting?
20 cubic yards.
Okay, and the free drop-off of hazardous waste of wood products will be how long for residential?
It'll be indefinite during hazardous waste collection events.
More than 30 days.
Yes. But we only have a hazardous waste collection event one time per month in Red Bluff during the winter months and
right.
Two times per month in the summer months.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Rachel, this is Lou. Not quite sure I understand. Residential will be free, but how are you going to determine who's residential and who's actually a contractor? What I mean by that is, let's say somebody that's claiming to be a resident shows up with a truck full of treated wood. Is that all going to be free?
This has been a long-standing issue for us. There's no way for us. You could tell someone that they're lying to you, but there's no way to prove it, you know? So this has always been an issue for us. We have that issue with fluorescent lights, other hazardous materials. So we just end up absorbing that cost. But essentially, yes, and there is a fear that will happen with contractors, that they'll tell their residential clients, hey, you bring it in, it's free, so I won't have to build that into your cost of your project. But that's just, there's no way for us to mitigate that issue.
Sure. Okay, thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Rachel, how is the public going to know about the collection events and that there's a change or something like
so,
this?
So I've already talked to the building department, and they have the ability to give us a list of their current contractors that have active permits in the county. So we will send out a letter to all those contractors. Also, we'll put up information at the various building departments. We will post information and staple it to each landfill receipt at the landfill. We will push it out in press releases, social media, websites. We might even sponsor a Facebook message to let people know locally in Tehama County that this is an issue so that we're getting that information out as best as we can. And that's how we'll do it.
Also, will Green Waste put it in their mailer?
I can work with Green Waste to put it in their mailer.
Rachel, this is Bob. I got a question.
Okay.
How did we come up with the 21 cents a pound? Because at 40 tons, that's $16,800, and it's going to cost us $22,000 to manage this stuff, so it's a money loser?
I came up with 21 cents a pound because the tonnage to transport it out of state is $413. So per pound is 21 cents. Like I said, we don't charge the residents, so we have to afford that in our normal operating budget. That'll only be for commercial generators.
Shouldn't we be absorbing the $15 a day too on the rental? That's $5,475.
We do absorb it, yes.
But that totals up to $21,000, or almost $22,000. And again, at 40 tons, at 21 cents a pound, at $16,800.
Right. So if you add the rental, so I expect it to cost us $22,000 a year to manage the treated wood waste. So that includes the, if we were to get no tipping fee revenue generated from the commercial generators, assuming that everyone that brings us treated wood waste is saying that they're residents, and then you add in the rental fee, it comes out to $22,000 annually. Yes, I expect that to be the case. And we don't know at this point in time how much of our generators are commercial generators and how much of them are residential generators, because right now when they bring us hazard or treated wood waste, it just goes into a treated wood waste bin and we don't track it.
That's not my point, Rachel. My point is, if we're only charging 21 cents a pound, basing it on 40 tons of treated wood waste a year, that's $16,800 income. Mm-hmm. But our expenses are $22,000.
Because we don't charge residents.
Well, and we're assuming we might not get any income, so we have to have it as a complete loss, correct?
Yes. So right now, unless you state that you're a commercial business, we don't charge you at all for any hazardous waste.
Yeah, but that 40 tons, this is Bill Goodwin, isn't the 40 tons all of this waste you've been getting? It's not just the commercial, or is that just the commercial amount?
No, it's all.
Yeah, so we're not following the logic. It seems to me that you could do an estimate and say 60% is commercial and 40% is residential, so you could have the commercial pay enough to cover the residential.
We could do that. That's not how we currently structure our fees for commercial generators at the moment. So this would be consistent with our current fee structure.
Rachel, it's Danielle. Can I say something?
Sure.
Because you touched on it earlier, and I think that's the thing, so I'll just call it out. I really think Rachel was correct when she said that a lot of the commercial people are going to turn around and tell their residential people, I'm going to have to write this fee into your amount, or if you go and say that this is a residential drop-off, they won't charge you. So I think we're going to get a lot of dishonest people, so they don't have to pay that residential fee, and that's why we have to have the full $22,000. Because we're not banking on people being necessarily honest.
So what you guys would like to see is for the full $22,000 annually to be built into the commercial fee only? Is that what you're saying? Because that is not the way that we currently structure our hazardous waste fees. Right now, commercial generators pay the actual disposal cost according to what our contract is with the hazardous waste contractor.
Do we think that it's going to be, sorry, this is Jonah Jones, do we think that it's going to be a larger fee is going to be prohibitive? Do we think that that's going to keep the contractors all together from using the service?
I think what they'll do is they'll tell their clients to bring it in as residential treated wood waste.
Yeah, Rachel, this is Lou. I think I follow your logic. In other words, if we try and cover this entire $22,000, you're going to have to change the entire structure of your fees for hazardous waste, which is going to be very complicated, and that is going to trigger a lot of a lot more contractors to push their residents to bring it in themselves. And since this is a temporary measure, I think we just go with what you're recommending. And if it turns out to be permanent, then we would have to revisit and perhaps even start charging residents for treated wood if we think that once you start tracking this, that this is what's happening, is they're bringing in large amounts for a contractor project.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes. Just to give you some perspective, currently our operating budget for our household hazardous waste facility is $100,000 per year, and we only generate about $10,000, not even $10,000, maybe $8,000 of fees from commercial generators right now. So the vast majority of the hazardous waste that we are currently receiving at our facilities is coming in from the residential sector, not the commercial sector. And most of that revenue that we're generating of the $8,000 is actually from fluorescent light disposal.
Rachel, this is Dave. I think also if we push the cost onto the contractors, they're just going to start burning it on rainy days and stuff where nobody can see them, and that's what we want to keep away from too, don't you think?
Yes, we don't want people to be illegally disposing of it or burning it.
So the more we put on them, the more they're going to look at different ways of getting rid of it.
Correct.
Yep. Any other discussion? Rachel is in need of a motion. I will entertain a motion.
Danielle Eystone, I'll motion.
Thank you, Danielle. Second?
This is Lou. I'll second the motion, assuming that we're talking about the 21 cents.
Yes, as it is written.
Yes, I will second the motion.
Thank you. Rachel, you call the roll.
Director Williams?
No.
Director Shamblin?
Yes.
Director Bundy?
Yes.
Director Carlson?
Yes.
Director Bouquet?
Aye.
Director Demo?
Yes.
Director Beats?
Yes.
Director Jenkins?
Yes.
Director Eystone?
Aye.
Director Parker?
Yes.
Director Deiters?
Yes.
Director Jones?
Yes.
Chairman Garten?
Yes.
All right, 12-1.
Thank you all. Now, item 2, treated wood legislation. This is a request to authorize the agency manager to support legislation that would reestablish the alternate management standards for treated wood waste.
Okay, so at the time I wrote this item, there hadn't been an industry letter that has been circulated, and 12 hours later there was. But essentially what I'm asking is authorization to submit an agency position letter supporting the reestablishment of the alternative management standards for treated wood waste. Like any other position letters that I would submit, it would come back to the board for formal approval at the next regularly scheduled meeting. This industry letter that's being circulated, it touches on the fact that the lack of the alternative management standards will likely increase illegal dumping and burning of treated wood waste. It'll increase the commercial disposal costs significantly for treated wood, and local government disposal costs for treated wood. Like I said before, they're estimating at least $25 million statewide. They're requesting that DTSC issue variances and use a standard template to allow for alternative management standards. So the DTSC, which is the Department of Toxic Substances Control, can issue a standalone variance for one facility for one or more hazardous waste, allowing for alternative management of that particular hazardous waste. They're asking that they establish a formal template that facilities can use and apply for a local variance that will allow for them to manage treated wood waste in the way that we are currently managing it. So I'm requesting authorization to sign on to that letter and any future letters that would support the reestablishment of the alternative management standards for treated wood waste, with formal approval coming back to the board at the next regularly scheduled meeting.
Hello.
Thank you. Do I have a second?
I'll second it. This is Dave.
Thank you. We have a motion and a second. Rachel, call the roll.
Director Williams?
Yes.
Director Shamblin?
Yes.
Director Bundy?
Yes.
Director Carlson?
Yes.
Director Bouquet?
Aye.
Director Demo?
Yes.
Director Beats?
Yes.
Director Jenkins?
Yes.
Director Eystone?
Yes.
Director Parker?
Yes.
Director Deiters?
Yes.
Director Jones?
Yes.
Chairman Garten?
Yes.
All right.
That completes our business. Thank you all. That completes our business for today. And we'll see you shortly.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Rachel, it was a lot clearer today. I could hear everything.
Okay, good.
So, thank you.